But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Joshua, the great leader of the people of God, found that his last end was approaching, he called to him the chiefs of the people. When they were all assembled around him, he spoke to them these words, "You know how we have always been blessed by God's help from the time of Abraham till the present day, when we have arrived in the possession of the promised land. He has overwhelmed us with all kinds of blessings and still daily benefits us." He finally concluded his address with these words, "Fear then always this God who has been so kind and generous to you, and serve him with a true heart. And in confirmation of this, banish from your midst all the false gods which your forefathers have adored in Egypt and Mesopotamia. Should the service of your God be not agreeable to you, and should you prefer to serve the idols of the Egyptians, declare yourselves today, you have your choice. Choose this day that which pleaseth you, whom you would rather serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The princes of the people, moved by these unexpected and touching words of their leader, exclaimed with one voice, "No, we will never abandon your God. He is the true God. He alone will we serve." Today as well, we are confronted with two masters, Jesus Christ on the one hand and the devil on the other. We cannot serve both because they are opposed to each other. And to not serve either of them is equally impossible, because all who do not serve Jesus Christ belong to the service of the devil. There is a story to illustrate this. The author of this story, I believe, is unknown, but the story still proves the point very well. There was once a large group of people standing next to a fence. On the other side of the fence was our Lord, and on the side of the fence that the people were on was the devil. The people were then made to choose whether they wanted to climb the fence and be with our Lord, or stay on that side of the fence and be with the devil. They all made their choice, some climbing over the fence, some going with the devil, but one man decided to climb and sit upon the fence and remain there. When all the people left, those with our Lord into rejoicing and those with the devil into suffering, the man remained on the fence. Sometime later, the devil returned to find that man on the fence and asked him what he was doing there. The man replied that he was not able to make a choice, so he decided to stay on the fence. The devil, with an evil smile, said, "I am afraid you must come with me, for I own the fence." Thus, those who do not follow our Lord are serving the devil. The devil tempts us with earthly pleasures, while our Lord draws us with his kindness and humility to seek our heavenly home. When our Lord was in the world, he drew all hearts to him. Men left their homes and occupations to follow him, even into the wilderness, as the case of today's gospel. The sick and afflicted had recourse to him and were helped by him. He enriched the sinners with his grace instead of punishing them. And what shall we say of those who followed him and acknowledged him as their master? Far from being harsh and from using stern words towards them, he called them his friends. He says, "I will not call you servants, but friends." But what does Jesus Christ ask of those who wish to serve him? He asks nothing else but that we observe his law. "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." It is true, though, that man must sometimes do violence to himself in order to keep these laws. Today is the feast of the 40 holy martyrs. These were true followers and true soldiers of Christ. But while they were in the world, they made up the 12th legion under Marcus Aurelius, And due to their success in combat, which was because of their prayers, they were titled the Thundering Legion. The Emperor Licinius expressed his desire that all should sacrifice to the gods at one point, and appointed a day for this, but these 40 of the Thundering Legion boldly went up to him and told him that they were Christians and would not be complying with the mandate. The judge, as they do, first had recourse to promises of wealth and reminded them of the dishonor they would incur. This, of course, didn't work. They told him that he could never promise them something as good as what they would lose if they dishonored God. They were then scourged and thrown in jail. Some days later, their governor came to the town where they were and examined them again. Seeing them still strong in their faith, he devised a plan to make them fall and sacrifice to the idols. He ordered them to be driven out onto a frozen lake and remain there until they offered the sacrifice or until they died. He also had placed next to the lake a warm bath, telling them that if they offered the incense, they would be permitted to enter the warm water. After some time, one of their number, giving into his weakness, offered the forbidden sacrifice, but when he entered the warm bath, the shock was too much and he died immediately. I can't help but see a similarity between this and some of the things in our own life. We are told, for example, to take a simple shot so that we will be able to return to a natural way, our normal way of life. But how often does this lead to mortality? Well, in the story of the 40 martyrs, the 39 that were left were very saddened at this, at the departure of their friend. But one of the soldiers that was tending to the warm bath, a heathen, when he saw what happened, was granted the grace of conversion, and he accepted this grace. He ran out onto the ice with the other Christians to claim the same reward as they. These men had to prove their love for our Lord in an extraordinary way, but through all their trials, they had their eyes fixed on heaven, and they knew that our Lord was watching and assisting them. Our Lord is not one of those masters who lays up insupportable burdens and then imposes them upon others. When he asks something of us, he also assists us with his grace so that we will be able to fulfill the command. And if we fail and leave him, he pursues us with his grace to bring us back. Our fellow men and the devil are not so forgiving. Think of the story of the 40 holy martyrs. They were the best fighters in the army. The governor owed them very much for their service. But all it took was a slight disobedience to his command to make them his enemy. Then consider what the devil does for us, that one of their number who sacrificed to the gods, in effect sold himself to the devil, and his life was immediately over. Our Lord tells us to take up our cross and follow him. He once appeared to St. Catherine of Siena, bearing his cross, and bid her to follow him along a path of thorns. She prepared herself to do this, but after a few steps, the pain was so great that she was unable to continue. Our Lord stopped, turned to her, and said, "Place your feet where I placed mine." She did so, and she no longer felt the piercing thorns. If this Lent, if this life is too hard for you, stop and consider whether you are following our Lord in his footsteps, trying to walk in front of him, or even worse, following the devil. Our Lord has designed everything in this world to help you get to heaven. Are you offering up your sufferings in union with our Lord? Are you praying to him to obtain the grace that you need? Or are you rejecting his help and choosing your own will? Are you serving Christ or the devil? May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.